Father, we thank you for this fellowship, even this morning and afternoon, as we are gathered together. Praise the Lord. The entrance of your word, we declare, brings light and give understanding. Let it give understanding, Lord, to the simple, even to our hearts this morning. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, first thing I want to say about miracles, signs, and wonders is we don't follow miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders actually follow us. That's what the Bible says. These signs shall follow them that believe. So we're not the ones following signs, looking for signs all over the place. You know, these signs must follow us. But this is who we are. We are people. Well, men wonder that, you know. I mean, people say, wow, what's going on with them? Well, this is the, you know, for us, I want to talk about something that should awaken something in us. What we call the supernatural, you know, this miracle, signs and wonders, should be the new normal for us. I mean, we should just be walking in miracles. We should be walking in signs and wonders. I mean, it shouldn't really be something far-fetched. I mean, we see a sign, we see a wonder, we see a miracle, you know, and we, you know, run off and so on. No, this should be the way of life, for the believer. That's the way Jesus put it out there. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, the so-called Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the gospel, the goal was the gospel. I mean, the mission was the gospel. The task was to preach the gospel. Well, there were some tools that he gave. You know, no man goeth in warfare at any time at his own charges. The Lord said, when I sent you out, did I not equip you? Well, so, you know, let's look at some of the equipment for this preaching of the gospel. Remember, the task and the mission is to preach the gospel. But along with preaching the gospel, he emphasized some gospel helpers, if you will. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, shall take up serpents, shall drink any deadly thing, and so forth. You know, it will not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we ought to be experiencing these miracles, every signs and wonders, and practicing every day. And we ought to also practice the same in our lives every day. There are some statements that Jesus made about miracles, signs, and wonders. This is one of them. In another place, in the book of John, chapter 4 and verse 48, you know, Jesus, you know, made this remarkable statement. You know, Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So Jesus himself recognizes the impact that signs and wonders can have. You know, now this was the story of, you know, a certain nobleman who had a sick son. We're told that at Capernaum, you know, there was a certain man there, and his son was sick. And when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. But listen to what Jesus said to this man. Except you see, I mean, Jesus already saw through the heart of this man. He sees everything. He knows everything. So he knew that this man, even though he's reaching out for help, he's really struggling to believe. And so maybe something will help him. Faith helper for this man. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Perhaps when he sees this miracle, maybe he will truly believe the gospel. So Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now that tells us today also that signs, miracles, and wonders can help people to believe. You know, in fact, you know, some of the, in the early church, the disciples, they had a rough time, you know, with the Jews, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and all these people, you know, not wanting them to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't care if anybody was preaching the traditional stuff, the law of Moses. That didn't bother anybody, you know. But the moment that these people started to preach in the name of Jesus, you know, that really bothered them. And also, they were always trying to muffle them up and say, well, we don't want you to preach in this name. You know, but these people, well, they, of course, they wouldn't listen. They say, well, who should we obey? And who should we listen to? You or God? But there was something that happened in the book of Acts chapter 4. Leading up to Acts chapter 4, we saw that in Acts chapter 3, there was a miracle that happened. Peter and John were going up to the temple in Jerusalem for the hour of prayer. And there was this man, you know, at the gate of the temple, you know, that they saw. And he was always there, you know, looking for alms. The Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb, carried, and they laid him daily at the gate of the temple. It's called Beautiful. The last alms of them that enter into the temple, who when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for an alms. Give me something. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. So the man looked on them, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, well, you know, silver and gold have I none. And this is a popular story. We even sing this one. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I mean, this is a famous story. You know, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ. These were people that were bold now. This Peter was, you know, timid before, but now he got the Holy Ghost and made all the difference. He's bold now. I say unto you, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And notice what Peter did. Peter didn't wait around, you know, telling the man, well, you know, what's happening? He just took him up by the hands, you know, took him up by the right hand, lifted him up, acting out that command that he gave, and declaration, rise up and walk. And he's going to help him, lift him up by his hand, pull him up, and then set him loose. And he said, immediately, glory to God, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah, he was walking, he was leaping, he was praising God. And all the people saw him, because they knew him. They knew he was the one that sat at the arms, you know, for the gate and so forth. And they said, my goodness. And all the people ran together. And they began to wonder greatly, well, world wonders, miracle signs and wonders. And they were starting to wonder. They say, you know, and of course, you know, Peter gave the glory to God. Do you think that we had made this man to walk by our own power. See, we must give glory to God when miracles, you know, are granted through our ministry or our hands. You know, now these days, people don't exactly do that. You know, most of the time we take the glory to ourselves. You know, I mean, it's as if we are the ones that have done it. People use miracle signs and wonders to advertise, you know, their church or their this and that. Come to our church, or miracle signs and wonders. Is it you? It's God that's doing it. You know, so anyway, they gave glory to God. And they said, look, faith, you know, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ has given this man this perfect soundness, which you now see. Don't think that we did it. We didn't do it. Jesus did it. And see, their goal after the resurrection was trying to get everybody to believe on the Christ. And so even when miracles happened, they pointed back to the Christ. And that was, you know, what they were all about. Now, of course, the leaders got a hold of them and they were not happy about it. You know, the chief of the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees and so forth, being grieved in chapter 4 that they taught these things to the people. Because they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them, you know, in hold until the next day, even, and so on and so forth. You know, so, but let me jump to verse 16 of that chapter 4 of Acts. Now, you know, starting at verse 13, you know, because Peter, he preached a powerful, say, filled with the Holy Ghost, preached unto them, and preached resurrection of through Jesus Christ and so on. Now, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. The same God has made to be corner, chief cornerstone, and there is no salvation in any other. You know, this is the man through which you must be saved. And he told them. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow, that's a great testimony. I said, well, these people did not go to the school of Gamaliel and the school of this and, the, you know, this and that. But, I mean, look at them. I mean, what? How did they know all these things? You know, because Peter preached powerfully. You know, so they took counsel among themselves. You know, this is the counsel that they took. When they had commanded them to go outside, they counseled and conferred among themselves and say, what shall we do to this man? Now, notice this next statement. This is the power, the impact of miracles, signs, and wonders. Here's what they said. You know, they said, look, what are we going to do to this man? For that indeed, a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. People cannot refute miracles. You may argue about, you know, the preaching and so forth. But when you see, in this case, someone who was lame from his mother's womb, all of a sudden now everybody knew him, was sitting at that gate all every day. They now see him walking, running, praising God, shouting, leaping over the place. You can't deny that. So that's what they said about miracles. They said, this is a notable miracle that we cannot deny. We can try to forbid them from preaching, but you can't deny what we see here before our eyes. So that's the impact of miracles. And that's what we want to talk about today. You know, impact of miracle signs and wonders. So they threatened them anyway, and so on and so forth. You know, but the point here is that they themselves, with their own mouth, said, we cannot deny this miracle. You know, we may deny their preaching and argue with them that Jesus is not the Christ or this and that, but we cannot deny the fact that this man who was born lame has now been made whole by through the preaching of these people. We can't deny that. So when the gospel is backed up by power, can't deny it. Now, let me say this statement here. the preaching of the gospel, any gospel that is being preached without power like this is at best, I don't know, just a theory. You know, so it's not very effective if there is no power to back it up. Paul himself said, look, if I come unto you with smooth speech and all these kind of things and I don't show the power, he said, you know, a gospel is not just in speech and language and, you know, how well I can speak as an orator, but in the demonstration of a Holy Ghost and power. And so the preaching of the gospel must be backed up with miracles, signs, and wonders. If that's not going on, well, you know, then it's not a complete gospel. Now, these people said it. They can't deny. Jesus said it. You won't believe unless you see it. You know, within those two narrations already, that should give us the reason to really believe for miracles, signs, and wonders. But let's read a couple more. In the book of John, chapter 10, we're going to read verses 37 and 38. Here's another illustration, you know, of this point. You know, Jesus was saying something here, but nobody really believed that he was come from God and things like that. You know, so he said, look, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. You know, Jesus put this out there. You know, don't just believe what I claim, but if what I do testifies of who I am, then you better believe for the work's sake. You know, he said, look, you know, you don't believe me because of what I said, but okay. Yeah, but if I do those things, even though you believe me not, believe the works. Believe those signs and wonders, you know, that you may know and believe. Those, in other words, the signs and wonders will help you to believe. You didn't know, you didn't believe, but when you see those signs and wonders, it will help you to believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Powerful statement. And you know, in Matthew chapter 11, we read this a few days ago, when John the Baptist sent to ask Jesus, well, are you the one? Should we wait for another? What was Jesus' answer? Did Jesus send those people back and say, yes, I am the one? He said, well, look around. See if the works that I'm doing testify of me. Did not Isaiah say that the Christ would do these things? Well, see if the dead are being raised. See if the blind are receiving their eyes, sight. See if, you know, he just pointed back to the miracles, the signs and wonders. Said, these things testify of me. And here he says, well, you may not believe what I say I am or who I say I am, but, you know, believe for the work's sake. Hallelujah. You know, so this is a powerful testament to the impact of miracles, signs, and wonders. And there are many such things that Jesus said to the people at different times, you know, about miracles, signs, and wonders. How it is important, you know, for us, you know, through miracles to give witness to the gospel. Jesus himself did that through the preaching of miracles, you know. Let's listen to another one. This one was directly with his disciples in John chapter 14. And, you know, when Philip asked the question, show us the Father, and it will be, you know, sufficient unto us. I mean, this whole mystery about Father and all the time. And Jesus said, well, have I been with you such a long time, and yet you haven't known me, Philip? That I see me as in the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which is in me, he doeth the works. Now, Jesus is pointing back to the works again, you know. And he said in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. This is the same thing he said in chapter 10, you know. Or else, you see, if you can't believe that, just because I said so, you know, well, yeah, Or else, he said, believe for the very work's sake. So you see, these things have an impact or intended impact to help people believe. So I call it gospel toolkit. You know, it's gospel helpers. Those miracles, signs, and wonders supposed to help people to believe. Jesus is saying it here himself. You know, you don't believe what I say, then believe for the work's sake. You know, hallelujah. So, you know, on and on and on, Jesus made the argument, you know, that works of miracles, signs, and wonders, you know, when the gospel is accompanied by that, it actually help people to believe. Now, back to Mark chapter 16, when Jesus had commissioned disciples to go forth. Well, let's see how that chapter ends and how it is summarized in Mark 16 and verse 20. And he said, well, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. So that's a pattern. That's a perfect pattern. The gospel is preached. Now that's a word. Then signs follow. And people don't believe. You know, you go out there, you know, and you tell them the name of Jesus Christ. People don't believe. Well, you know, they believe because of the signs and the miracles and the power. And you preach. You know, I love to do that when we go out to preach, you know, especially when you are doing, conducting crusades and stuff like that. You go out there, you try to introduce Christ, the people are looking at you and so on. Well, and you call the prayer line. I will get one person healed. Oh my goodness. And all of a sudden, you know, you get the people's attention. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But see, this is what the Lord is telling us here. And the scriptures are telling us. And Paul said the same thing, that look, we don't want your faith to be based on, you know, excellency of speech alone, but in the demonstration of the power of God. You know, that's right. Because, you know, the power of God is demonstrated through miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, the demonstration, in other places they call it demonstration. You know, not just in our words, but in demonstrating the power of God. How do we do that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 is what Paul said. He said, look, my preaching, when I was among you, I didn't just do this preaching with words only, but I backed it up. Praise God. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? See, the why is always associated with the reason. I mean, you know, why, you know, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, how well we can speak, but in the power of God. Now, this is the reason why we have miracles, signs, and wonders. We're not talking about lying, signs, and wonders. We're talking of miracles, signs, and wonders that are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, just like Peter was saying, he said, look, it's not our power, you know, but the name of Jesus. Listen to this in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. It was talking about you are the ones, you deny the Holy One, you know, you killed him and so forth. But we are witnesses that God raised him from the dead and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see now. You know him and you see him. You know him from his birth, but now you see him walking. The faith, see, he said his name, the name of Christ, through faith in his name, has given this man, you know, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So you see how they are using, see how he's using this miracle, to give witness to the power that is in the name of Christ. This is what miracles should be doing. It's not just for us to use it to, you know, make a name for ourselves. Miracles should be used to point people to the Christ. You know, because we say, look, we use this name, you know, to pray this miracle for this person or to walk this miracle for this person. Therefore, you should believe on that name. It's what Peter's argument is here. And that's the, you know, that was the concept. That was the thinking. And that was how they did things back in the day. Now, let's talk about some things in our own day. Now, I've laid here the foundation of why, you know, it is important to have miracles, signs, and wonders. In fact, if you don't have miracles, signs, and wonders, we've got to go back to the drawing table. You got to go back to the drawing table. You know, many, many years ago, there was a noted evangelist that came from, I'm not going to mention their name, but they came from the United States and went to Nigeria and went to a place where there was a lot, you know, a certain part of the country, there was a lot of blind people and so on. And at first, he couldn't, you know, nobody was getting healed. So he left. This is a true story. He told it himself. And then nobody was getting healed. So what is going on? So he went back home, locked himself up for weeks, prayed and prayed and prayed and sought the Lord. And then came back on a second trip. And when he came back, the first thing he did was say, bring me a blind man. And I said, that's right. You know, after I introduced, they was introduced and they knew that as a preacher come to preach Jesus. Said, well, bring me a blind man because he couldn't do it last time. And after I prayed for the blind man, the blind received his sight. Everybody started giving their lives to Christ. Like, there you have it, you know, because now they see the power of God. Well, let me tell you a few stories that I myself have witnessed, you know, or been graced to hear about it around our ministry or something like that. You know, that what the impact can do. I remember when we started our church, GMI Church, stands for Gospel Missions International. You know, I went in the year 2008, that was just 2 or 3 years after we started, with a beloved friend of mine, one Pastor Roland Akibon. His wife is here on this platform, Sister Maggie. I went, you know, he went with me, and we went to different places that year. The Philippines and the in Tanzania as well. So I want to say one story, the one impact out of the visit to the Philippines. A lot of things happen. Out of that visit to the Philippines, there is a GMI church in the Philippines as of today. We started back there because of all the things they said. One pastor, one of the hosting pastors said, look, you know, I don't know about this organization that I belong to here. I want to be a part of GMI Church. I said, no, we don't do that. We don't create churches. You don't report to us. You know, it's no such thing. That's an organization. he said, but, you know, he started pressing and pressing and pressing. Well, eventually, you know, we let him do it. He said, well, you know, you can have the church. You can use the name. Here are our materials. Here's our website. You can, if it helps you, fine, but you don't report to us. On your own, report to the Holy Spirit, you know, but we'll help you the best we can. But anyway, a lot of things happened. One notable thing that happened was towards the end of the event. I think we were there for like 10 days or so. You know, we would have like crusades in the evening. We would have like a teaching conference in the morning for the pastors, a lot of pastors from different places and so on. Anyway, in one of the evenings, I think it was close to the end, there was a lady that had come. She had stage 4, cancer. She was known too. People knew her. Because this was smaller settings, you know. This was not Manila, like big places. We went to the villages. This where the, you know, noted preachers from America that went to Philippines. Nobody go to the villages. Villages were too small for them. They went to Manila and these big places. Or we went to the villages. Because the Bible said that Jesus preached in the villages. So we went to the villages. So anyway, you know, people knew each other. They knew cases. They knew this and that. So this woman had come for prayer. Announced to me that she received, you know, healing, because she never came back and testified. I think it was perhaps close to the end of the thing. And it wasn't until 2 years, almost 2 years later, I'd forgotten about it. I prayed for so many people, so many miracles and so forth. I didn't particularly remember that case. It was just one of the cases. Anyway, one day I received an email and she started to describe herself. Oh, she said, I'm Sister Mary Lou something. And she started to describe herself. Her English wasn't very good, but she captured the essence of what she was trying to say. And when she started to describe herself, I kind of remembered. You know, I remembered her story. She said, well, you know, I was the one that came and had this thing, you know, she described it, stage 4 cancer, and you prayed for me, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, I think I remember that. So this here's the impact of the miracle that she received. I didn't even know it until she started to say it. But the impact was she was from a Muslim family, that's number one. And from a Muslim family, that miracle changed her story. She actually got healed, she said. And I said, instantly she was healed. You know, she had this, you know, this pain, and it left her. And then when she went and checked it out, they found that she had been healed. I said, well, what happened? Well, they realized that it was a miracle because, you know, she was in a stage 4 and her body was cleansed and all this thing that was spreading over her body was, you know, was gone. I mean, how can that happen? You know, anyway, that miracle turned her heart around to Christ. Muslim. Well, as if that was not enough, about 8 or so people from her family gave their lives to Christ because of that one miracle. I wasn't there. I just prayed and moved on. I'd even gone. I was only hearing about this 2 years later. Then, as if all of that salvation was not enough, they talked to the local pastor, the one that said he wanted to do the GMI church thing there. They asked him if they could set up another GMI branch in their smaller village. You know, I don't know whether they did or didn't, but they started a fellowship in their house because of that one miracle. The village that she was in, many people started to come to that fellowship and give their lives to Christ because she became an evangelist because of that miracle. Powerful stuff. So I asked for her permission. I said, can I put this? I wrote her back. Can I put this on our website? She said, of course. So I put it on the website. The thing is on our website today. What am I bringing out of this? Well, one notable miracle changed one life. Her testimony changed the life of members of her family. You know, large Muslim family, 8 or 9 of them gave their lives to Christ. I think 8 besides her. And then he started a fellowship in her house. She became an evangelist. People started to come. And what was her story? all her story was just telling of this miracle. She didn't know how to preach. She was a Muslim. But she knew how to give her testimony. And that's all she did. She would just say, well, you know, I don't know how she said it, but I imagine she would have said, well, I was diagnosed with this thing. I was dealing with this thing. I was prayed for. You know, and here I am. I'm healed. And say, wow, you are healed. Maybe. And people started giving their lives to Christ. Powerful, powerful story. Impact of testimonies such as this. You know, people started to give their lives to Christ. I remember in the same year, you know, that was, this one I told was in the Philippines, you know, something else happened when we went to Tanzania, another Muslim region. And as a matter of fact, it turned out we went during their so-called Ramadan. I didn't know it at the time, but when we got there, it was Ramadan. We went to this one place we were preaching. There's a lot of witchcraft, I was told, in that place. You know, witches, wizards, witchcraft, all kinds of things. You know, that people were even afraid, you know, preachers were afraid to go there and preach because they had strong witchcraft there. You know, you go there, you mess with their kingdom, they will mess with you. So anyway, once we heard about the witchcraft, say, oh, great, cool. Cause we love that challenge, you know, and, of course, Pastor Roland was also there with me. We stood on stage. Night after night, you know, challenging. We were told that there were some wizards and witchcraft people in the back. Huge audience in one large, so it wasn't exactly a stadium, but like a very large field, similar to a stadium that was used. And I was going to ask them to come to the stage. Well, nobody would come. But they were always, you know, terrorizing people and so on and so forth. You know, but we challenged them on stage, come. You know, Pastor Roland himself gave his own testimony that he came from a Muslim background that impacted some people. But what impacted them the most was a notable miracle. One notable miracle. There was one woman when we got there, we saw her. She came. She had this big stomach, huge. We were told that she was pregnant. Okay, well, that's nothing strange with that. Well, how long has she been pregnant? They said she had been pregnant for 11 and a half months. Close to a year. Well, what happened? People are not pregnant that long. Well, they said the witch doctors bound that pregnancy. That's great. You know, some nasty stuff happens in Africa, ladies and gentlemen. They said, well, you know, witch doctors bound this pregnancy. And the curse they put on her was she would not give birth, she would not miscarry, but she will carry that pregnancy with that big stomach around like that the rest of her life. I don't know what she did to deserve that, but that was the story. Maybe her enemy or somebody went to witch doctors and they did something to her. Yeah, but that was the story anyway. I can't remember her name, but that was the story. Oh, so she came for prayers, you know, and they, of course, we had to speak through interpreters. And, you know, they interpreted the story to us. So we said, okay. So, you know, I think I was the one that spoke to her. I said, well, you know, you will have, we were there for, I think it was, again, maybe 8 or 10 days, same kind of format, have some conferences with pastors in the morning and the crusades in the evenings. And we just kind of alternated. If I did the teaching in the morning, you know, Brother Roland will preach in the evening and vice versa and so on. We just kind of did it like that. And so I said, well, you know, you will have this baby before we leave, before this conference is over. So we left it like that. And I don't know what day of the conference that was. But, and I, in fact, I forgot about it because there were so many other people. People were coming there. They were carrying them out. You know, laid out by the Holy Spirit and so on, and demonic things, all kinds of things happening. So anyway, on the last day of the event, we were in the morning session and I was sitting by, on the stage, Pastor Roland and so forth. They had us sit there and we were waiting to be introduced, I was going to speak that morning and he was going to preach in the evening. And somebody passed a note. And they started passing the note and pointing to us that they should give the note to us. So they passed the note from the other side of the table and passed it. So, you know, the next person to me gave me the note and said, they want you to read it. I read it. Oh, well, I gave it to Pastor Roland, he read it. And I gave it to somebody to read it to the crowd. And what he said in the note was that woman, they mentioned her name, and so far I don't remember that name now, but I remember the case when they said it. So that woman with that pregnancy, 11 and a half months, which the witch doctor said, you know, would not, you know, ever leave that condition, I delivered that morning. And the place erupted. When they read it out, I gave it to somebody, one of the persons leading the thing. I said, read it to the people. That place erupted. People started coming to give their lives to Christ. You know, unfortunately, well, I mean, there was a lot of already miracles throughout that day, but that was the last day of the conference. You know, so, and then it was, when the thing was told again in the evening, people were rushing, because everybody knew that case, you know, rushing to give their lives to Christ. Because, you know, this was the power of witchcraft. I told her, you will never have that pregnancy. I mean, you will never give birth to that baby. You carry that pregnancy for the rest of your life. The word of the Lord said to her, you will have that baby before we left. On the last day, she had that baby. Can you see? And then all of a sudden, everybody started coming and giving their lives to Christ. Impact of miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, I'm sure you can think of many on your own that you've seen how miracles, signs, and wonders have brought glory to God and, you know, brought people to Christ. But let me go back some more years and tell you of some experiences, you know, that I had when I was in Federal School of Science many, many years ago. This was maybe 1974, 75, something like that. And I probably will say one or two stories. There was too many to even be said. Let me see which ones I've said. Some of you may have heard this before, but it goes with this. You know, how people can be saved. There was a testimony given by a sister yesterday, somebody who had them at gunpoint and who eventually gave his life to Christ. That testimony reminded me of times when we were having fellowship at this place called Federal School of Science. We were in one small classroom, had a corridor, there was a glass windows and so forth. And some of the students, you know, would just come and stand in the corridor looking in when we were, you know, praising the Lord or whatever. And they would be mocking. What are these people doing? The next thing you know, on a few occasions when the glory of the Lord physically descended, pillar of fire, didn't happen in every service, but every time it happened, those people outside would come in one by one, every single last one of them. Without us stopping the service or changing whatever we were doing, just continue, they would begin to fall down crying, asking for deliverance and stuff. And some of them would be delivered, you know, and they receive Christ. Some of them would even receive the baptism right there. Some of them would speak with tongues. And this thing was just happening. It was noised abroad, you know, and people, this was happening. And there were different prayer groups in the church at the time, or fellowship groups. And there was one called Scripture Union. Those who grew up in Nigeria would know that. The Scripture Union group did not quite care for, you know, charismatic or Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues or things like that. You know, and so there were fellowships like that. So one day, and this is the impact of signs and wonders on people. One day we were having the fellowship, and So I left and went to the bathroom, which was just down the corridor. Two other guys there, and they were hearing the singing. And this one fellow said to his fellow, he said, these SU people. Now, Scripture Union was tagged SU back then. And it wasn't a good name. It was kind of a mockery name. Because when you call you SU, it's like they were mocking you. These SU people have started again because they were hearing the singing. And I could hear it too because the bathroom wasn't too far away. And the other fellow said, these ones, they are not SU. They are fire. I was his words. And he started to tell. And I'm like, I didn't say a word. You know, but they saw what the impact I said. And here's some of the impact. Let me tell you some quick stories. He has some of the impact because he was saying that these are not that casual fellowship that you think is called SU. These people are different. Yeah. There was some of the notable miracles that happened, you know, in that campus. One of them was, this was the one that had the most impact upon the students in that place that caused the fellowship to move from that small classroom, because the thing was just too large, to someplace else. There was a story of a man there. His name was Sam. And he had a bicycle cart where he sold drinks and chocolate ice cream called Samco, you know, manufactured by this company called Samco. That's why I remember his name, because he sold this thing called Samco, and his name was Sam. And Fun Ice and so forth. Some of you that grew up in Nigeria would remember these things, you know. I know Sister Otito Juice here, she would know these things. So anyway, and my wife also. You know, this man was born deaf and dumb. He never spoke a word, but he was a grown man now. And he had this bicycle cart, and everybody loved him. They patronized him. If you wanted to buy this Samco chocolate drink, you'd go to him, you'd point to the thing you wanted, and through sign language or whatever, you'd buy what you want, you'd give you your change, and so on. Anyway, that's how they communicated with him. He never spoke. And he was deaf, he couldn't hear, and he couldn't speak either. You know, and everybody knew him because he was the only one in that campus. And Ferrer School of Science is like a small junior college here in the United States, if you think of it that way. You know, after that, you spent 1 or 2 years there, then you went to college degree in the university. So it was like a junior college. So anyway, a lot of people there, but they knew this guy. There was one day, I don't remember the details of who invited him to the fellowship, but somebody did. And, you know, after he was prayed for, he ran out of that place. You know, just like this thing that we read in Acts chapter 3, you know, shouting and praising God, run around the campus. And everybody knew this guy. Was crazy like this. They knew him. Now he could speak. Now he could shout. He started stuttering initially, but he could shout. The more he sang, the thing became clearer and clearer. And running around campus, not even minding his bicycle cart. And everybody's attention was like, that's his song. What happened to him? As this thing was noised abroad, people started coming to the fellowship and giving their lives to Christ. And the fellowship became too big. We had to get it out of that. You know, that small classroom, because everybody knew this man. He wasn't so a miracle that was done in secret. They knew him. He was the only one that had that bicycle cart, and everybody bought something from him. There was hardly anybody in the school that hadn't known this guy. Now to know that this guy who never spoke, who never heard anything, all of a sudden went to some fellowship, and now he can speak, and now he can hear. Everybody wanted to check it out. So that's the impact of miracles. And people are checking it out. There was another story in that place too of a hunchback, you know, that was healed, that drew a lot of attention. Some of you who grew up in the United States, you may not know what a hunchback is. But this man had this stain on his back. His back was, you know, bent over and it was like a camel's back. And he'd been like that, you know, I don't know for how long, but maybe all his life, until the day he was healed and brought a lot of attention. And it's many miracles like that. There was one miracle that I did not even remember. Somebody had to remind me of it. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember. You know, when we moved, I mean, these miracles were happening and it was causing people to come to Christ. Every time they would hear about it, there was a case of a man who was crippled. And when we had moved the fellowship from the classroom to some place near where a co-hotel is built now, some of you might know that area, close to the lagoon or beach and so on. One man was crippled. Her heard about some things happening in that fellowship. He crawled to that place from, you know, the main road. He heard about it, crawled to that place. You know, I was reminded of that story later. I had actually forgotten about it. And, you know, he received his healing that day, walked away from that place. He crawled to that place, walked away. And somebody was reminding me years later of that miracle and telling us of some impact. And I'm like, oh, wow. There were too many. I just couldn't remember them all. But each one of those things were bringing souls to Christ. And when they would hear of those stories, I mean, the greatest one that I told was that this one man, Sam, that was running around campus, you know, and it was amazing. And every time that people, and even the power of God, you know, just hitting people from just glancing through the windows when the fellowship was still in the classroom and bringing them to their knees. This one I remembered when one sister was talking about the testimony of the guy that held the gun to them yesterday and how the power of God hit him and he started to cry. And I remember time and time again when people did this thing. Holy Ghost would just come like that and hit them and they would start to cry, come in and start to ask for forgiveness. Even one lecturer that we had who was a really mean woman experienced this power of God. I mean, she was taught us physics. She was married to one minister of Secretary of Transportation or something in Lagos State then. She was a, you know, notorious woman. Back in the day, you know, in those years, women were very pious. I mean, women didn't smoke, didn't curse, didn't wear slacks. I mean, they didn't do, they just carried, I mean, women, you know, that was the 70s. This woman did every one of those things. She smoked, she cursed, she did everything. And she'd throw you out of her classroom too, you know, if you mess around. One day she threw me out of her physics class. Because I was in there reading something, and she find you reading, even if you are reading a textbook, she doesn't want you to read in her classroom. Throw you out. Well, I wasn't reading textbook. I was probably reading the Bible. She threw me out. Because that's all I did back then. You know, read Bible, do all these things. You know, some really stuff that we were doing. Anyway, threw me out of the class. This woman one day, one of our students that she liked somehow invited her to the fellowship. She gave her life to Christ. She was there. Everybody knew her story. All of a sudden, people are wondering, what kind of message can change this woman's life? Because she was a notorious one. All of a sudden, she became somebody different. You know, she was invited that we would come to her office and have fellowship there. Her office was small, but yet she wanted us to pack in there at times. And then one day she threw a big fellowship at her house, you know, and so forth. And then when people were hearing these things, People were just coming to Christ, wanting to give their lives to Christ. What is this? What's going on? This is the impact of miracles, signs, and wonders. And the miracle that I was reminded of the man that crawled, it wasn't even until 2005 or 2006 that somebody was reminding me of that. I had completely forgotten of it. You know, I went to Nigeria from here with my wife. We went to Abuja, and we had a fellowship there with some brethren. It was a three-day meeting, praying for the sick, and power of God everywhere. And one brother who was with us at science school was now in that Abuja meeting, and he was the one that was reminding me of that. Actually, he was saying it publicly, but because of something he saw on that stage that day, reminded him of that miracle, and he said it. That thing had impact in his life back then. I don't even remember it. And he was saying it. I said, oh, you know, because there were just so many. I just couldn't remember them all. I mean, you know, people would have miracles. We had one event, at the end of the year that I was there, called it a love feast. We were leaving. You know, so there were some miracles. Some people brought their curious acts and laid them down, and so on and so forth. You know, when you see a miracle, you know, it draws people to Christ. People start to give their lives to Christ. Because the scriptures say, well, miracles help them to believe. Jesus even said, if you don't see miracles, some of you will not believe. And then if you don't believe me, believe for the work's sake. So we see that miracles, signs, and wonders are supposed to be used for bringing attention, you know, catching people's attention when you're preaching the gospel. And I could go on and on, but I don't want to. I'm going to leave it there. But, you know, the point is this. We must not be preaching a gospel that is void of miracles, signs, and wonders. And many of our brethren, you know, who are in Nigeria, they still go out, go and conduct, miracle rallies. They go to neighboring countries and different things. When miracles happen there, people rush to give their lives to Christ, you know, and this is the impact. I'll tell you one last story, you know, of miracles, signs, and wonders. Maybe one or two more, I don't know. In this one crusade that I was talking about, I love this crusade. It seems like in those crusades, you get more miracles, signs, and wonders. I don't know why. But anyway, this one crusade that I was with Pastor Roland, I think it was the one in Tanzania. On the first day of the event, there was a lady there with an issue of blood. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tanzania. It was an issue of blood. And we were told, and there were so many people, you know, coming, you know, and Pastor Roland was up on stage. So I went down to the crowd because it was just too many. And just trying to get him up on stage was too many. So he was staying on stage praying for some people. I went down the crowd. And there are just so many. And then one woman came there. She said she had issue of blood. Again, they were speaking through an interpreter. I didn't know their language. They didn't hear, they understand mine. And she said even as she was standing there, she was, you know, burning up and bleeding. And she had been like that for a whole year, nonstop, every day. And as she was saying, I remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood. You all know that story in the Bible. So I only said one thing to the woman. I said, well, you know, I said it, they interpreted it to her. I said, well, if you promise to come and give your testimony tomorrow, God will heal you tonight. I said it like that. And they interpreted to her. She nodded her head. Laid my hand on her, said one or two words. You don't pray long prayer when you're in those crusades because there's hundreds of people waiting. You know, I just said one or two words and left. And then the next day, the first thing we did was, we call it miracle rally. So the first thing we did was call for testimonies, because there were so many people we prayed for the day before. The second night we said, testimonies from yesterday. The interpreter announced it. And then all of a sudden there was some commotion in the crowd. I was wondering, what in the world's going on? There was one person pushing everybody aside. Just pushing, pushing, pushing. And you know, she wanted to be the first. It turned out that it was this woman with that issue of blood from the night before. You know, I didn't know what was going on in the crowd, but one person was trying to make their way through the crowd, be the first person. And when she finally got on stage, I said, oh, I remember her. You know, I remember her from last night. And she gave a testimony. After that testimony, you know, they were trying to hold the crowd back from the stage. You know, and her testimony was very simple. She gave this testimony of this. She was burning up an issue of blood every day for over a year or close to a year. I don't remember the exact details. But when she came for prayer last night, she said she pointed to where she was prayed for. And I remembered, because it was just the night before. I remembered exactly what I said to her. And she repeated it. And the preacher said, they didn't call me pastor. I don't know what they called me. But anyway, the preacher said, you know, go home, believe God, we promise to come back, you'll be healed tonight. And she said, for the first time in over a year, that night, she did not bleed anything at all. And she's looking even up till this day, she said, and that was a whole day after, because the crusades were in the evening, right? So it was evening to evening, she had not bled, and she had not stopped constantly bleeding for a whole year. Before she even finished the testimony, people were rushing. Normally, we would like to preach first, and then wait for people to come. No, that day, nobody were waiting for any. People were just rushing. They wanted to come. I said, well, you'll give your life to Christ. People were wanting to give their life. Ushers were there. There were some ushers trained to take down the name of people. They couldn't even take down. How many names were they going to take down? Everybody wanted to give their life to Christ. Everybody wanted to be prayed for. Everybody wanted to be healed. Because again, they knew this woman. You know, and, you know, so testimonies like these bring people to Christ. And that's the purpose of signs, miracles, and wonders. I can go on and on and on, but, you know, you see where we're going with this. So I call it the gospel toolkit. In that toolkit, you can pick out. It's kind of like you go on you see some of these handymen when they come to your house to fix your plumbing or fix your electrical and so forth. They have this toolkit hanging down the side of their leg or back or something. Got all kinds of things there. Screwdrivers, these, that, all kinds of things. Sometimes they even carry a toolbox. They have all kinds of tools there. They open it up. There's all kinds of things they need. It's in there. Well, you know, let's make these miracles, signs, and wonders our toolbox. You know, and every time that you use it, if you use it right to the glory of God, it brings tremendous power to that testimony. It's just like, you know, it really affirms the testimony of the gospel. And people want to give their life to Christ when they start to see impact. And they hear, you know, what people said and so forth. And every time, there are just so many, you know, that you do. And then the miracle of conversion also is actually a great miracle too. It's not just the physical healings. Let me tell you one last story of a miracle of conversion. How conversion of one person triggered the conversion of many others. We were in a crusade. Again, it was these Philippines. And it was in the last day we went to, it was a children, youth, they call it a youth rally. So we had a special youth rally. And they went to one community where there was a lot of young people. And there were a lot of gangs and so forth. I didn't know it. They had planned everything. We just were to go there and preach. So And they wanted, the people who are organizing, they wanted to impact that community with the gospel. There's a lot of young people there, gangs carrying guns and things and drugs and all so forth. So they organized this thing there. So we went there to preach. Nobody told us anything about it. I found all this out later. And how did I find out? Well, I was the one scheduled to preach that day. So we were alternating it somehow. So I got up to preach. I have never seen anything like it before. When I finished preaching, it was mostly young people that was there. A lot of people, but all young. When I called for who wants to give their life to Christ, not a single soul stepped forward. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, I've never been in a place, no matter what you preach. The moment you got, in fact, once they know that you're a preacher from America or something like that, people are always coming already. Before you even say something, people are coming out. You know, I called, preach the message, call for people to give their life to Christ. Not a single person stepped forward. And I'm looking in my mind, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with my message? You know, nobody, not one soul. And then the place was quiet and I'm looking. You know, and I'm wondering, and I turned to, you know, the person who's interpreting, what's going on here? He didn't say a word. Then one guy comes up. He had his swagger, you know, just like that. Just like one crazy young man coming up like that, you know, how they do. He comes up. He comes to the stage. And when he comes to the stage, well, he walks up to me. He says something. Well, or say walks up to the interpreter, I don't know. But anyway, I find out that he wants to give his life to Christ. Okay, I say, fine. So I, you know, say a few words to him, you know, say something here and there, lead him to Christ, you know. We haven't even finished that prayer. Everybody started coming. I mean, I was just 10 minutes ago, nobody responded to the altar call for salvation. This was even not a miracle rally. It was give your life to Christ because, you know, I was told that there are a lot of troubled youth there. You preach something to help them give their life to Christ. Nobody came. It turned out later, I found out, I said, what happened here? I whispered to the man, said, do you know who this man is, young man? I said, I don't know. He said, he's the gang leader. Everybody feared him. In fact, under his armpit there were guns and stuff. I said, really? He said, everybody feared this person. That's why nobody, when he was around, nobody was there step up. But when he stepped up, see, and gave his life to Christ, and everybody wanted to give their life to Christ. It was just amazing. I've never seen anything like it. I said, wow. You know, so you can see the impact of miracles. That's a real miracle. When you can turn a life of a gang leader, in fact, they cleaned up that place, that gang, you know, started that night. The whole thing cleaned up, you know, because of one gang leader that gave his life to God. And I didn't know. And I said, yeah. They said, well, that's why nobody came forward, because the guy was there, terrorized everybody. But when he stepped up to give his life to Christ, then everybody said, ah, now we can give our life to Christ. And I was wondering, wow. See how the devil had people in bondage, the bondage of fear, the bondage of intimidation. They couldn't even step up as long as this man was there in the crowd. But when he stepped up, see, God had to break that down. I didn't know it. The Holy Spirit didn't even reveal it to me. But when he stepped up, you know, and God broke him down, then everybody else, you know, started giving their life to Christ. Dozens of them started coming out that night to give their life to Christ. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? And I put the picture together after they told me what was happening and who that guy was. I said, oh, and that's it. You know, then we started ministering to the people as they were coming and so forth. They were giving their lives and some of them were turning things over and stuff like that. You know, it was amazing. So let me wrap it up here. You see what miracles, signs, and wonders can do. Physical miracles, spiritual miracles. Impact of them is to turn people to God. Turn them to the Lord. Help people to believe. You know, so these are, you know, faith helpers. And when we can go out there and pray for people, and preach to people, and you can walk a miracle, a sign and wonder in the name of the Lord, it helps. Just imagine what would happen if someday you go to your local grocery store, somebody there in a wheelchair, and you say, well, you know, and I pray for you. You say, well, sure. You say, well, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You pull them up and they walk and they scream. And, you know, can you imagine what will happen in that wheelchair? I mean, in that grocery store or department store or whatever that day? Of course. They will want to know where you go to church. Everybody, you know, this is how miracles draw people to Christ. I'm going to pray that the Lord will help us to submit ourselves as instruments that God can use. Now, the power of God to do these miracles are already latent in us. It's there. It's just that, you know, sometimes we don't recognize the opportunities or we don't take advantage of the opportunities. You know, and sometimes we shy away because of rules, regulations, and stuff like that. You know, but if you can be bold and, you know, step forward and do some of these things, it can bring a lot of glory to God and turn a lot of people to Christ. So I'm going to pray over the room and I'll turn it over. And I know many of you have testimonies as well. So Father, I thank you for the power of God. Say the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And many has believed. And especially when it's backed up by miracles, signs, and wonders. It's a faith helper. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to step out in faith everywhere we go. You know, like the early church did. We're not afraid. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Pull him up by the hand. And Lord, all these things that we've read in the scriptures, how people boldly testify to the name of Christ and how it brought, you know, revivals and things, you know, how Philip went to Samaria and the miracles that he did. The Bible says everybody brought their curious eyes because they saw and heard of the miracles that, you know, Philip was doing. And people were coming. Same thing with Stephen, doing miracles among the people. And people were coming, giving their life to Christ when they were hearing what was going on. I pray, Lord, that our lives will be used as such to bring people to the cross, to bring glory to the Christ, even as we yield to the Holy Spirit to use us in working miracles, signs, and wonders. The greatest miracle of all, the turning around of a life from the life of darkness into the light. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.